what we're actually having happen is eventually we're facing the judgment of God and the wrath that's going to come to that. So we need to learn why it is that we should say no to things. That will help us make sure we put aside the bad things and pursue and chase the good things. So consider what you're going to be losing if you do this sin, whatever it is, this activity that you shouldn't be doing, and appreciate what you actually have if you're a Christian. Appreciate what you have and so you don't give it up. And then consider the pain that you're going to cause other people by not saying no, right? So if you don't say no to sin, you're not just hurting yourself. You're going to hurt other people as well. You're going to be causing pain to other people. And you need to appreciate who you have. And if you appreciate who you have in your life, it's going to help you say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things, right? Hello, and thanks for listening. I'm Jason Sparks. This is Sparking Spiritual Growth. Thanks for tuning in on the Gospel Radio Network. From about the fourth grade to, I think, my ninth grade year when I was growing up, my two brothers and I and my parents lived with my grandparents and my uncle out in a small town, and we were pretty packed in there. My grandfather, I don't really remember much about him except the fact that he hardly ever said anything. But when he did speak, everyone listened. And when I say he hardly ever said anything, I mean he literally hardly ever said a word. But he could speak, and he was very intelligent. He was an elder in the church. He was very important, and even though he had a modest job and a modest income, we were definitely not doing well financially, he was a man of integrity. So when he said something, everyone took note and everyone paid attention because they, well, for one, they never heard him speak, but because what he said, he meant. And it was coming, you could tell it was coming from inside of him. It's well thought out. It was very short. He wasn't kind of man who, when, you know, some people you meet and they're very quiet, but then you get to talking to them and they will talk your arm off. Well, he was just not that way. He just didn't have much to say. He kept a lot to himself. And I'm sure that he spoke to his wife a lot, but we never heard it. And so that was pretty incredible to me. It taught me a lot of great lessons about patience and calmness and what strength really is about. But he taught me a lot about integrity, because I understood that if you say something, it's important. You need to keep your word. Integrity is, someone said, it's, you know, how you live when no one's looking. And so it's not all about keeping your word, but that's a big part of it. So if you say something, you do it. But it's about really living out what is on the inside. But even that is not enough, because, you know, if you say integrity is simply living out what is your values and your morals, living it from the inside out, a lot of people could say they do that. I mean, a pedophile could say he is living a life of integrity because he's living out what he thinks of inside. And of course, we know that's not integrity at all. So we have to be careful in how we define terms. It's really important to understand what integrity is. Integrity, it's about wholeness. And especially when the Bible talks about the idea, the concept is about being whole. It's about not having hypocrisy. And it's about not just living from the inside out, but having the Word of God in your heart first and then living that from the inside out. It's not a show. It's not putting on a show. It's living, put the Word of God in your heart and living it out. So that's what integrity is all about. And all of us who are Christians, we want to increase that. We want to be able to look at us and see that that's a man or a woman of integrity. And in fact, it's really the basis for a lot of the blessings that come in life. We're never going to be perfect, but we can have integrity. So how do you increase that? I've been dealing with that and thinking about it, because I'm trying to help people learn how to not only increase integrity, but help other people increase their integrity as leaders. And so while doing that and thinking about this, I came across six steps. And think about these things, and maybe you can add to them. If you do, hey, that's great. Let me know. By the way, you can send me an email, hope.preacher@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you, and if you want to interact, that's a great way to get a hold of me. But six steps to increase your integrity. The first one would be to learn why to say yes before anything else. So before you go and doing anything, before you make any changes in your life, you need to make sure you understand what you're trying to say yes to, or what you should be saying yes to. So this is what's implied in the word repentance. It's a turning towards something. It's not just turning away from something. So it's good for us to recognize that we have things in our life to change. But you have to recognize that in relationship to what you should be doing. So what is the yes? What is it you're supposed to do with your life? Because it doesn't really do us any good to just turn away from sin and not turn toward God. It doesn't do us any good to turn away from sin and not actually put something into practice that God tells us to do. That's what repentance is all about. And we get it reversed sometimes. We think about all the stuff that we've got to stop doing. And obviously we do, but the important thing is to stop doing those things so that you can do something else. So learn to say yes before anything else. What are you going to say yes to? You're going to say yes to what's important. So determine in life what you really are looking for. And I recognize that if we're Christians, we're looking for God, we're looking for salvation, we're looking for heaven. And that should be part of the process of understanding. But even as Christians, sometimes we don't get that. We don't live that way. We don't think about what life is really about and how important things are, what the importance of things are. And so we kind of wander through life calling ourselves Christians, but we really are kind of aimless. We don't really have a purpose or function, and we don't know what that function is. And so we hear a lot of people in the world saying, find your purpose, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, but your purpose has to relate to God and His Word. And as Christians, you should know that, and that's something that we should be putting into our hearts, into our lives, and living off of those things, right? So finding out what is important. A great way to start with that, by the way, is to read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, in his search for meaning, one of the wisest men who has ever lived, is giving us a step-by-step look at what he did in order to find meaning in life. And he kept saying over and over, all is vanity, it's all worthless. Now, that didn't mean that his life was worthless. It just meant the things of this world, the pursuits of this world, they're worthless, they're meaningless, because in the end, they're going to go away. You're going to die, and nothing you have on this earth is going to go with you. You're going to go, you're going to leave this world the same way you came into it, with nothing. And so what's really important, he gets to the end of that book in chapter 12, and he says what's really the whole thing about life is that we fear God and keep His commandments. That is our all. That's why we are here. We have a similar search, and you can, you know, decide to go through all those the process that he went through and destroy your life trying to find how to live your life. Or you can look at what the scriptures say and recognize that other people have already been there, and they've seen and they understand, and God has revealed to us and shown us exactly what we need to see and understand in order for our life to be the best. And trust him with that. So we can and should listen to the counsel of other people, right? But even then, we still don't get it. But be patient. It's going to come. So we also need to recognize what's not important. And that's a lot of what that book is about. It's about all the things that he chased. So we have to see what's not important, and then we need to recognize what is important based on that. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, Solomon wrote, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So the fear of the Lord is what we're talking about. You need to develop that. The fear of the Lord is not a terror of the Lord. It's a respect for God and a respect for what he has taught us, respect for the whole spiritual realm and the spiritual nature, because we realize that there's a lot more to life than what we actually see with our own two eyes around here. So that's the first step, is learn what to say yes to before anything else. The second step is to learn why to say no. So consider that what you'll be losing by doing what you shouldn't do. And any time that we sin, we're violating God's character, we're acting out against God's nature, and that is something that is not going to be tolerated, and so we're going to have problems that come from that. It may seem like we have good things come and blessings come when we do evil, but that's just a perception. What we're actually having happen is eventually we're facing the judgment of God and the wrath that's going to come to that. So we need to learn why it is that we should say no to things. That will help us make sure we put aside the bad things and pursue and chase the good things. So consider what you're going to be losing if you do this sin, whatever it is, this activity that you shouldn't be doing, and appreciate what you actually have if you're a Christian. Appreciate what you have, and so you don't give it up. And then consider the pain that you're going to cause other people by not saying no, right? So if you don't say no to sin, you're not just hurting yourself. You're going to hurt other people as well. You're going to be causing pain to other people. And you need to appreciate who you have. And if you appreciate who you have in your life, it's going to help you say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things, right? Then we need to also not, step three is to not just learn why to say no, but learn how to say no. We need to understand the lie that's found in the temptation. When Jesus was being tempted, we have that in Matthew chapter 4. Those are laid out for us, the three temptations of Jesus. Those were not the only temptations he had, surely. But they are there for us so that we can see, we learn lessons, and we see the lie that's inside the temptation. And Jesus actually, in his answers, when Satan tempted him, Jesus' reply was not just quoting scripture. That's not really the key. I used to think that if I would just memorize scripture, that when Satan attacked me, then I can just distract myself by quoting scripture, and that's why Jesus quoted scripture at him. That's not really true. I thought that because I didn't see any connection between the answer that Jesus gave and what Satan was actually tempting him with. But I'm going to give you a hint. If you want to study that out, a great place to start is to find the quotations that he made. And understand those quotations in the context in which they were made in the Old Testament, because they're all made from the Old Testament. Understanding the context of that statement that Jesus quoted will help you see what the lie was that Satan was presenting to him. For example, the first one about turning the stone to bread, you may say, why was that such a big deal? And really, it's a great question because it seems to be a very minor thing. It wouldn't hurt anyone. Jesus was hungry, so what was the problem with changing the stone into bread if he could do it? Well, Jesus' quotation has nothing to do with abusing miracles or anything like that, how will you normally talk about it. The quotation comes from Moses, who was saying that God has brought them into the Israelites into the wilderness and made them wander around for 40 years so that they would understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so he's talking about the priorities there, and he's going to trust God and trust the process that God has put him in and not have to take things into his own hands, but he's trusting God. And so the lie here that Satan is giving him, even as a small thing, as small as it was, the lie was that he could take, that Jesus could just take matters into his own hands. And even though he trusted God, he could say, well, I'm going to help God out. I'm just going to go ahead and just change this stone to bread. And we tend to try to help God out some things sometimes. I heard one time a rabbi, he was talking about this, and I just shook my head. I couldn't believe he said it. But he said, you know, God gives his word, but sometimes we have to help him out to make sure it's done. That could not be further from the truth. So you need to learn how to say no. And the way you learn how to say no is to understand the lie that's found in the temptation. If you understand the temptation, it's a lot easier to say no. Then you can just apply the scriptures to that. So you understand the lie. You reject false ideas and thoughts by focusing on the truth that temptation is fighting against. So that temptation was fighting against trust, the one that of Jesus turning the stone into bread. That was fighting against the idea of trust and following God's plans. And so you reject that by rejecting the false thought, by focusing on the truth that temptation is fighting. So Jesus quoted the scripture. That's why he quoted that scripture, because it was the perfect rebuttal to the argument that Satan was making. And the third way of learning how to say no is to not play around. Don't play around with your no. Be stern, be strong in your own mind. Remember that temptations are dangerous. They're not toys. It's not a game. It's not let's see how close we can get. Let's play with it in our mind or allow it to sit in our mind and work on us over time because it's exciting or whatever. That in itself is wrong, because what you're doing is you're tempting fate. You're playing around. You're playing with a snake, right? And why would you do that? Just get it out of your mind, be firm, and treat it for what it is, something that's very dangerous. So we learn what we're looking for. We, first of all, in developing integrity, we learn how to say yes, why to say yes before anything else. We learn why to say no. We also learn how to say no. And then the fourth one is to embrace your roles, your responsibilities. Reaffirm the commitments and the reasons behind those commitments, the commitments that you've made, the commitments that have been made for you, that God has committed you to do certain things and in certain situations and roles you find yourself. We're all in various roles. We all wear a lot of different hats. And so you're a friend, you're a son or daughter, you're a perhaps a father or mother, perhaps you're a spouse. You have a lot of different activities and roles in your life, a lot of functions. And God has dictated how we should live in those. Now, we've been given a lot of leeway in how we apply these things, but the scriptures are very plain in the basic ideas of how we should live out those roles. So embrace those. Reaffirm the commitments that you've made and the reasons behind those commitments. And then consider that the temptation that you may be facing is trying to get you to circumvent something. Consider that sometimes our temptations are there because they're offering us an easy way out or a shortcut. That's what we're seeing in two of the temptations that Jesus had. And if that's the case, consider the thing that the temptation is trying to get you to shortcut. Why is it the right thing to do to go the slow route instead of taking the shortcut? And you need to know the answer to that. Why is it such a bad thing to take the shortcut? You need to know the answer to that. And embracing your role and your responsibility will help you to do that. You know, anything that you do that is quickly gained, you also can lose it very quickly. But things that build over time in a slow process, they're more steady. They stay in your life a lot easier and a lot better. So the slow process, even if we're talking about two alternative ideas, one's fast, one's slow, and neither one of them are wrong and they're both right, sometimes it's best to just go the slow route because that is steadier. It can lead to better things, and you can make sure that you're having a better foundation to build on later on. Quick is not always best. In our microwave society, though, we think everything's got to happen now, and if it doesn't happen now, then it's not a good thing. We need to reverse our thinking. We need to remind ourselves that anything that's good is going to take time and effort. And if it doesn't take time and effort, it's probably not that great for us. Embrace your role, embrace your responsibilities, and decide to live in that, in those areas. So this is going to relate to patience. It's going to relate to endurance. It's going to relate to consistency. And that, of course, is going to relate to embracing, that is having a conviction about those things. And that's the fifth step, is to create conviction to your commitments. Really, we're getting into the heart of integrity when we do that. Until we get convicted, we're just talking. Until we get convicted, we're just pretending. But we have to have a conviction to the commitments that we've made. It could be as simple as saying out loud that you're committed to it with firmness of voice. That's a great way to start. You know, I am going to do this. I am convicted to do this, or I believe in this, and say it out loud so that you can hear yourself saying that. Repeat that. That's one way to start building that in your own life. Another way to start building that is to continually talk to other people and help them build conviction, because that's going to help you as well. But even if you're wavering, pretend to be strong, and your body and your mind will snap to attention. You can practice that. You can do that yourself and prove it simply by adjusting your posture. Have you noticed if you stand up straighter and taller that you feel stronger? You're not any stronger. You just feel stronger. And sometimes if we're wavering, then if we present ourselves with strength, then our mind will start to believe that we have that kind of strength. And it's a great tool or great tip for a very immediate response if you need to be strong. It's not the best way to build it over time, but it is a great, very quick way to do that if you need to. Even if you're wavering, that pretending can help you to overcome that. Also, psych yourself up a little bit. You know, if you know you're about to face a challenge and something to do that you're having difficulty doing, Psych yourself up. Talk yourself into it. Listen to music that gets you motivated. There's all kinds of ways to psych yourself up. What do you usually do to convince yourself to get active? Anytime that we're facing challenges in life and we are facing opportunities in life, we need to create conviction. And sometimes that means we've got to talk ourselves into doing what we know we should do. I don't know anyone that always does everything they're supposed to do and they always are willing and eager to do it. We all have to talk ourselves into it from time to time. We all get tired. We all get down. And the person that has integrity is going to find ways to get past those things, past those discouragements, and do it anyway. And do it even if you don't feel like doing it. Our society kind of says, well, we've gone so far with having authenticity that sometimes we've really missed the ball because we've missed the point. Because we think, well, if I don't feel like doing it, then I shouldn't do it because that's fake. That's not true. No one wants to do it all the time. No one is always eager to do what is right. And so the kind of life that you live by waking up and saying, okay, what do I feel like doing today? And I'm only going to do the things that I actually feel like doing. That's really going to have, you're going to have a hard life if you do it that way, because you're not going to want to do what is right all the time. You're not going to want to stay with something all the time. You're going to have to push yourself a little bit. I was listening to a speaker yesterday. He's big. He makes a lot of money, has a huge following, and he was talking about the fact that he cusses all the time. I don't listen to the man. If I see him online, I'll skip by. If I see him like on Facebook or something, I won't listen to him because he's foul mouth. But every now and then, I'll catch something that he says, and he usually has some really good stuff. So I'm hearing him today. He's talking about cussing, and so I thought, okay, I'm going to stop and hear what he has to say. And he actually didn't use foul language while he's talking about this. So I was actually shocked. But he said, you know, if I didn't cuss, I would probably be 7 times bigger than I am now. He said, you wouldn't believe the amount of hatred I get because I say cuss words. And he said, admittedly, he says a lot of them. And he even said, I wish that I wouldn't be that way. But if I didn't cuss when I spoke, I wouldn't be me. And then I wouldn't be presenting myself to you in authenticity. Like, wait a minute. That's not authenticity. Authenticity is not just doing whatever you want to do, and that's just me, I can't make any changes. In fact, he's going around the country, around the world, really, telling people, hey, if you want to improve your life, you need to make some changes. Change this, change that, and you'll be doing all kinds of great things online. But he's not applying that to his own morality. Change this, and you can be 7 times bigger, but he doesn't want to change that because then he'll be different. He wouldn't be having any integrity. That's not integrity. That's choosing to live however you want to live and letting everyone else, you know, they can lump it if they don't like it. Well, what I'm saying is no one can live a life without pushing themselves to do something that they don't want to do. So psych yourself up a little bit. Think of ways that you're going to be seen by other people when you present yourself as strong. Think of hearing "well done" by Jesus. Think of how grateful others will be that you're strong for them, that you've helped them, that you've endured, and that they can look to you as someone who is strong, who they can see as an example to encourage them. Because think about it, anytime you're around someone who has strength, you feel stronger as a result of that. There's just something about it, and it makes you feel stronger as well. I have a friend that every time I go away from him, I walk away shaking my head thinking, man, I've got so much growth to do. And those are the people you want to be around, because when you walk away thinking you've got a lot to learn, then you know you've been in the presence of someone who has something that you are also wanting. And if that's the case, then you need to recognize the only reason that I can get around this person and he makes me feel that way, he doesn't make me feel bad. The only reason that can be happen is because he's showing his strength and his knowledge. And whenever you demonstrate that, it's not like he's walking around giving out everything that he knows, but he has strength and confidence and knowledge, and it just comes out of him. And whenever I walk away, I realize, man, I've got a lot of growing to do. But it helps encourage me, and it tells me if he can do that, I can too. Imagine being that for someone else. And then step six is to keep that conviction by putting it into action. And this is where people destroy their confidence. They pretend, they decide that they're going to be strong, but they actually don't ever do anything. They don't ever act. And the best way to increase confidence and to increase belief and conviction is to act. So when you decide to stand for truth, do something immediately that supports that. You've got to support it with activities, or your brain is not going to think that you're actually serious about it, and it's going to start chasing something else. But when you actually do something in response, so you decide that, for example, you decide you're going to lose weight. Don't wait until tomorrow morning to start. Do something as soon as you decide, even if it is, I'm going to stand up and walk around the house 3 laps around my bedroom. Even if it's that, it's something, and it gets your mind actively pursuing the thought that, hey, maybe this guy's going to take it seriously this time. And if you don't do that, you're self-sabotaging. The action will prove to yourself that you're serious about it. Your mind will begin to support your actions. It will even build more conviction. Your body wants to be healthy. That's just an example, but it does. And so it will support that. But you've got to act. You've got to not pretend and not play, but actually put into practice things that you say you're going to do. If you don't act, your mind's going to think you're lying to yourself again, and it's not going to come help you. Your brain is going to start working against you. This is where self-control really takes off. Control yourself enough to act toward the thing you're convicted to do, even if that means making mistakes or getting something wrong. And I can't stress that enough. Put into practice the things that you believe. If you will do that, you'll be amazed at how much power you gain. Because we do things all the time that we don't really believe in, and we can do those things. But when you actually have a conviction and you start acting on that, man, step back, because that's where you're going to have a lot of power. That's where you're going to really be able to express yourself and really live it out. And it feels really good too, by the way, because you're living with conviction. Man, there's no better way to live. Those are the ways to increase your integrity. Learn why to say yes. Learn why to say no. Learn how to say no. Embrace your roles and responsibility. Create conviction, and then put that into action. If you'll do those six things, your life will absolutely change. And you can make that change tomorrow. You can make that change today. I'm here to help you. I'd love to hear any feedback you have. Please let me know if you have any questions or comments. Again, you can reach me, hope.preacher@gmail.com. I'll talk to you later.